There's an insert in your bulletin you can take out, and you can follow along the message, fill in the sheet as you go, so you have these thoughts to take home with you. This morning, I want to share with you on the body of Christ, the body of Christ. The name of the message, I was thinking, maybe I should name it something different, give it a little pizzazz, but I couldn't come up with anything better than the body of Christ, because that is the term, the phrase that's used in the Bible for the church. And this message was prompted because we were commissioning seven Stephen ministers this morning who are members of the body that are going to minister to us throughout the next number of years. And so, if you take out this sheet, I want to talk to you about the body of Christ. The essence of what I want to share this morning was driven home in my own life a number of years ago when we first started pastoring the church here. And I attended a meeting where they were sharing on the body of Christ. And I tell you, these truths just suddenly penetrated my heart, and they have shaped my thinking and philosophy all these years. And I just want to give you an overview this morning on the body of Christ. Here is your first fill-in. When you become a Christian, you become a member of the body of Christ. Here's the verse, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit were you all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. I want you to know, when you become a Christian, this is not just an individual experience. The end of it, you arrive someplace. And where you arrive is in the body of Christ. You go through repentance, could be expressed in a prayer. It could be expressed and is expressed through water baptism. And we've all experience those things, repentance, water baptism, the laying on of hands for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, you end up somewhere. And where you end up is the body of Christ. Your relationship with God and experience of salvation, listen, is personal, but it's not individual. It's personal in that you experience it yourself. There's a reality. You are touched. This is something you experience, just you and the Lord. You have life ministered into you. But it is not individualistic. It's not you alone. You are then part of a body. You become part of a whole. So it's personal, but not individual. You're saved not because of your condition, that you're good enough, you've satisfied the rules, you've been holy enough, you've been righteous enough, and as a result, you merit salvation, and so your condition is what saves you. It's not that. You're not saved because of your condition. You're saved because of your position. Our salvation is not based on your merit, but Christ's merit, and you have to come under his headship. He's the head, and now he is the only one worthy to enter heaven, to satisfy the righteousness of God, and the only way you will be accepted by God is to take a position in his body. He's the head, we're the body. Psalm 133 talks about the oil that's upon the head and it runs down over the beard and to the very furthest extent of the body. And it's illustrative of the church, that he's the head and there's a flow of life that comes to us, not apart from the body, not being able to say, I merit it. We only merit it in Christ. And so our salvation is positional. It's corporate. It's coming under the headship of Christ. Now, these things I hope we all know, and yet sometimes they escape us. And we fall back into thinking, I have to merit this, or we don't appreciate the salvation that comes through Christ. Now, the other aspect of this is that our life is in the body of Christ. We don't have an individual life. The life is in the body. The flow comes from the head to us. And growth, our spiritual growth and development, is a result of being in the body. Just as in the natural physical body, if you remove a member from the body, it dies. It doesn't have life on its own. It only has life as it's connected to the body. Similarly, if a member of the body is injured or hurt, the only way it receives healing is to be in the body. There's a flow from the body to that member that heals it. Growth, growing, is a result of being in the body. Now, this was very clearly expressed to me when I was 8 years old. I was on the farm, and I was working at eight, and I got my finger caught in a V-belt of a motor, and it went around my finger, almost took my finger off, but they came, and they sewed it up and put it back on, and it healed. The tip of my finger has feeling, it has life, but you know what? My finger, you can't see it, you have to ask to see it after the service. The tip of my finger is the size it was when I was 8 years old. And the rest of the finger grew up until the point of where the scar was. After the scar, it didn't grow. Now, don't feel too bad for me, because actually it has its advantages. It didn't grow. I've looked at that many times, and I wonder why that didn't grow. Somehow it got disconnected in the body. It has life, it's alive, but it never grew. I wonder if that describes sometimes how we are. We're in the body, we have life, but we're not growing. Not growing the way we should grow. The Bible tells us that that's possible. Paul wrote to church, he said, you know, you should be grown up, you should be mature, but you're still children. There's something of growth that happens as you're connected to the body, you can grow. These are very, very important truths. I'm asking the Lord that my words this morning will be more than just words. That somehow, as we prayed for the group that was here, there would be anointing on my words that would touch your heart and transform your thinking. And that the fabric of your makeup has a different philosophy. Because we get to thinking it's just me and the Lord. And I associate with Christians, yes. But you know, it's sort of not that important. I want you to see how vitally it is for you to be connected to the body. Because our life, our healing, and our growth is in the body. Let's look at the next fill-in. The part you play is determined by God and helps others to grow. So you're all part of the body of Christ, and you have a function. You have a part to play. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:11. He gives each person what he wants to give them. Now, if you read this in context, he's talking about the body, and everybody's in the body, and everybody has a function. And he says he gives to them what he wants them to have. How you are, your makeup, your gifts, your talents, your ability, your contribution to the body of Christ is determined by the Lord. Now, you can squelch it. You may not express it, but the part you have to play is given by the Lord to you. You don't decide it. God decides it. He gives it to him, as it says in the scripture, as he wills. Now here's another verse, 1 Corinthians 12:7. And the Holy Spirit gives each one a gift that all people may be helped. Now there's a reason why you have your gifting, your place, your part. Scripture tells it, it's so you can help others. This is not given so that you'd be seen, you'd be able to manifest your part and then everyone applaud or express appreciation or think better of you because of it. That's not why it was given. It was not given for your own personal satisfaction. It was given primarily so you will benefit others. Every member of our physical body is bringing a contribution to the rest of the body. The stomach has its function. The heart has its function. The lungs has its function. The eyes has a function. Our hands have a function. It is all to work together for the benefit of the whole body. Everybody's different. You didn't choose to be the shape you are. But you are given a responsibility. God has determined it, and he wants you to help others. If you go to our 301 class, which is Pathway to Ministry, we really try to flesh this out to see what your shape is. And we use S-H-A-P-E as an acronym. We want to find out what your spiritual gift is, what your heart's passion is, what your abilities are, what your personality is, and what your experiences are. S-H-A-P-E. And in that class, we try to determine what shape God made you, because how God made you determines where you fit and the function you'll have in the body. It's very important for you to find that. Otherwise, you'll look at someone else and say, oh, you know, I wish I could be like them. Listen, God wants you to be you. You are distinct. You are unique. You are special. No one can be you better than you. You are designed to be you. So don't look at someone else. Don't pine after what you, and actually have a remorse over what you don't have. Realize, this is who I am. God has determined this. And he wants me to function for the benefit of everyone else. And that is how the body comes together. Here's your next fill-in. We are held together by commitment to God and each other. Commitment to God and each other. Here's the verse in Colossians 2:19. Holding fast to the head. Now, this is what we are, commitment to God. Christ is the head. You have to be fully committed to God. Hold to the head. Don't hold to your own head. Hold to his head. You yield, you submit to the headship of Christ. You say, Lord, you're my head. And as everyone holds to the head, then the whole body, notice, is nourished and knit together. All the members are not just butted up against each other, not collected in one room together, not just taught together, but they are to be knit together. When I was a young boy, my mother, I wanted her to teach me how to knit. And I don't think it was just a whim that passed through, but I remember her teaching me this little simple knitting thing when I was a boy. Never did pursue it, of course, but mother did. Kay's mother did, and there's a generation, and many of you are knitters, and you can knit a pair of mittens in a day, or less than a day. I'm surprised how fast my parents, my mother and you know, Kay's mom can knit. But they take yarn, one big string of yarn, but it's knit, and it's intertwined, and it's connected, and it's looped into a fabric that can't be torn apart easily. And that's how God wants us to be, knit together, connected. It speaks of relationship. If you're going to be part of the body of Christ, you need to be knit into the body. This is something you have to be deliberate about from our side, because God wants to connect us. The church is heart-to-heart relationships. As I said, it's not geographically getting in the same place. You could come to church every Sunday and be quite good at attendance, but never be knit into the body. never having your heart joined with anyone else, never sharing with anyone else, always keeping your distance, always having like an arm's length away. That's not how the body's to function. The body is to be knit together. Nourishment comes through that connection. Listen to what it says. Nourished and get knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. It's in those relationships there is a nourishment that comes to you. Now, I can't emphasize this enough. This is so vitally important if you're going to be what God wants you to be, reach your full potential, have a ministry that's effective, that's God-given. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. You are meant to be joined with other members. The analogy switches in the scripture to a building. And it says that we are living stones. See, every stone has a personal relationship with God in that they have received life. They're a living stone. But they are then being built up a spiritual house. God is after the house. It's the house that's going to fulfill his purpose. One stone alone can't fulfill it, but joined with other stones, they can fulfill it. These are basic truths that are in the scripture that you might be able to recognize the verse, but I'm challenging you today and saying, are you being built together? Are you being mortared in to the wall? Or are we a pile of living stones that are all put together in a pile? A pile of stones could all have life. But boy, it's easy to take one off the top and you'd never know they were gone. And so it is with many Christians. They just sort of join the pile of Christians. Satan easily snatches them away. Other people don't even notice that you're gone because you never got knit in. You associated, but you never got knit in. And you never fulfilled your purpose. It's very hard to take a stone out of a wall. Stones that have been mortared into a wall, now you try to take a stone out. It's very difficult to take a stone out of that wall. And if it ever was taken out, you'd look at the wall and you go, there's a stone missing. You would see immediately they were missing because there's a hole there where they were. That only happens when we're knit together, we're in a body, we're functioning together, we're all doing our part, then there's a nourishment. Now notice what it says here. We're held together by joints and ligaments. Now a joint is where two members come together. Anchors, where the foot joins the leg. That's a joint. Elbow's a joint, where the arm reaches, joins the upper arm. Joints. And there is a supply that comes through the joints where two members come together. That's why somehow there was a disconnection in my finger. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. There's a supply that comes. Now notice what it says, through joints and ligaments. Now what are the ligaments? Ligaments is what holds the joints together so it doesn't become disjointed. You see, members move in opposite directions. The bicep pulls this way and pulls my arm up. The tricep pulls the other way and pulls it down. They actually have opposite directions. If you got them together talking, the bicep says it should come this way. The tricep says, no, it should go this way. Now, the only way the body can have movement is when the contrasting poles, the joint still held together by ligaments. And one member has to relax when the other one tightens. How does that happen? through the direction of the head. And so we are held together by ligaments. What are the ligaments? I believe it's commitment. Commitment first to God and commitment to one another. Are you committed to other members? Do you see that it's essential for your development, growth, and health to be part of a body? Or do you think, no, that's me. I do that. I do that by prayer. I do that by reading my Bible. No, you need to do all those things. But the Bible says it happens in the body. And so the more independent you are, the less healthy you will be, and the less, listen to me, the less you fulfill the purpose God has for you. Because work is a function of the body. So if I want to move this book over there, the eye can't do it alone, hand can't do it alone, feet can't do it alone. It takes a body directed by the head that says, and I'm not even thinking about it, left foot go out. Right foot balance yourself, right hand reach, fingers grip, torso twist, left foot go forward, right foot go forward, eyes see how far we need to go, ear keep the balance of the body, left hand put the book down. We did a work, but the body did the work. Every member contributing their part to the overall. I know we can nod our heads in that illustration, but I'm praying there would be a spiritual acknowledgement that for you to fulfill your work, your function, whatever the muscle part, whatever direction you feel, that it's done with others. That's why we have to submit to one another. Submission. Now, we think about that at heart. Oh, I don't want to submit, as if that's a bad thing. It's a good thing. But it's a natural thing if you have life. My fingers submit to my hand. Because wherever my hand moves, my fingers move. My hand submits to the arm. Wherever my arm moves, the hand moves and the fingers move. They're all submitted, but they don't think about it. The fingers go, oh, I gotta submit now. I gotta submit here and I gotta submit there. No, it's just a natural function of life. The arm submits to the torso. I move the torso, the arm moves, the hand moves, the fingers move. They're all submitted. The only reason they wouldn't be submitted is if the fingers had a mind of its own and had its own head and questioned every time the arm moved. Why are you moving me there? I don't know whether I want to move out there. Why are we moving out there? It's got its own mind. It questions everything. The hand questions everything. So you have to bow your head and bend your knee to the lordship of Jesus, to his headship. When you do that, submission becomes natural. When you're just focused on how can I contribute my part, the fingers aren't contesting where it goes. The mind, the head, the arm has put the fingers in a place. All the fingers have to do now, what do I grip? What do I turn? And they do it. And the function of the body works. I'm talking to us today. This is a revelation. This is really a revelation that when you see this, it'll transform your life. When you realize, yes, I have a personal relationship with God, but you know, this doesn't function apart from the body. It'll give you a much deeper appreciation for God and for the church. And your submission will become natural. And rather than worried about, I have to decide everything, you just realize, I'm in this flow, I'm in this life. Yes, I'll do my part. Yes, the bicep pulls and the tricep pulls. But I'm trying to submit to the head. And I realize the value of the body. And when we do, we're going to accomplish God's work. If everyone thought the same thing and all pulled in the same direction, it would be paralysis. The only way we can have flexibility is when there's a movement and interaction and yielding and submission. Now the body moves. Now it can flow. It can do things. But if the body joints become disjointed, now what happens? If the elbow is out of joint, now there's pain and weakness. And you can't do what you would like to do. See, some people get their nose out of joint. I don't know why they say that, but I guess you could get your nose out of joint. Because, I don't know, you know, you get offended. Someone didn't recognize you. Someone didn't honor you. Someone didn't take your opinion. Someone didn't do it the way you wanted to do it. And so you get your back up or out of joint. And now when the body should be functioning, it can't function because now two members are at odds with one another. They're fighting one another. There's no yielding. There's no humility. There's no forgiveness. There's no gentleness. There's no love because it all works by love. Love is I will do my part to benefit you. And I'm not looking for what comes back in return. That's the essence of love. That's how the body works. You do your part in love, benefiting someone else. You'll never go wrong. Let God sort it out. If it's not just the way you want and the tricep has to relax, just know maybe the Lord is trying to do something. And then other times you're to contract and the biceps to relax so that the arm can move. So this is very, very elementary, but so very, very profound. Here's the next one. Every member is vital and important. Every member is vital and important. Let me just read it to you. This is how it's worded in the scripture. The body is not all one part, but many parts. Perhaps the foot says, I'm not the hand, so I do not belong to the body. But it's still a part of the body. Perhaps the ear says, I'm not the eye, so I do not belong to the body. But it's still a part of the body. If all the body were an eye, how could we hear? If all the body were an ear, how could we smell? The way it is now, God has put every part in the body in the place he wanted it. If they were all one part, how could it be a body? If everybody was just like you and thought like you, how could we be a body? The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. He did this so that the body would not be divided into groups, but all the parts would help each other. Now, all of you together are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. If one part has trouble, then all the other parts are troubled too. If one part is praised, then all the other parts are glad with it. So what's he saying here? First of all, he starts with the foot to the hand, the ear to the eye. Someone that's less prominent looks at another member and says, you know what? They don't need me here. And that's the danger. You look at someone else, maybe they have more prominence, they have more skills, more gifting, and you say, well, it doesn't really matter if I go. It doesn't matter if I get involved. There's other people that'll do it. They don't really need me. He says, you're still part of the body and you're necessary there. So you can't say, I'm less, so they don't need me. Or on the other side, he says, the eye can't say to the hand, the head to the feet. In other words, one that's more prominent, to someone else, say, you know, I don't need you. I'm the eye. I see what's happening here. I have great insight in everything. I don't need to hear that person over there. The Bible says if you do that, you'll never hear. You'll only see. You'll never hear. Every member's got an importance. You can't say, I don't need. Have you ever looked at someone and felt they were less than you? You didn't need them? The Bible says you need them. The body functions together. Now, you can't have a close relationship with everyone, just like the body. The toe doesn't get connected to the hand. No, it's in its place, but it's connected to the other members there. The other members are connected where they are. So there are people in the church that you connect with. You have a heart-to-heart connection with, and you need to cultivate that and pursue it and rely on it, because they will give you strength and health. And let everything be sorted out. You might look and see someone and say, I don't know what they do. They don't seem to do anything. I wish they could get involved in the ministry I'm involved in. We're already doing something. You have no idea what they're doing. They're doing something. They're accomplishing something. But you don't know. I mean, the fingers could talk about the toes. Yeah, they look a little bit like us, but you know, they really don't. They don't have the flexibility. I don't see them twisting knobs. But they have a function. My brother lost his big toe in an industrial accident. And he said to me, I never realized how important my big toe was. How I walk and how I move. He said, I have a new appreciation for a toe. Folks, we can see it in the body, but how many times we don't see it in the body of Christ? And we are judgmental, and we do make judgments of people. And we think people are less than others. This scripture is telling us we are all important and we all have a function. And just because you don't understand it, you value the other person. In fact, it goes on to say, I didn't put the verses in the scripture, but it says those members that are not seen are private members. He said, we don't think less of them. Actually, he said, we value them more. So our private parts that we would not show to anyone else, they're never seen, said, we really value those. And so it is, I think, in the body of Christ. There are members that doesn't seem to have much prominence. They're not seen much. And we might think they're not worth anything. In God's eyes, many times they're the most important. The Bible says the servant is the greatest. I think some of the people that we think have a lot of prominence in the church, when they get to heaven, you're not going to see them very much. And the people that you never heard of are going to have the highest places of reward because they were servants. They just served behind the scenes. They just made it happen. They just contributed their gift. Never had a lot of praise, never had a lot of recognition, but they just served. Jesus said that servant is the greatest. So be very quick how you judge others. Just be say, Lord, I want that heart. I want to use my gift for the benefit of others. Here's your last fill-in. The end result is that we grow more like Christ. The end result is that we grow more like Christ. Listen to these verses in Ephesians 4. These gifts are to make God's people better able to do their work for Him and make the body of Christ become stronger. The gifts are given so that we all believe that the one way. And all know the, let me read it again. The gifts are given so that we will all believe the one way and all know the Son of God. They are given so that we will be really grown up Christians like Christ himself. The body of Christ must grow so that we are no longer like children. We are like children. We are pushed this way and that way. We change our minds every time people bring a different teaching. We must say what is true and say it with love. In that way, we will grow up in all things to be like Christ, who is the head of the body. It is from Christ that the whole body grows as each different part does its work. It grows so it becomes stronger in love. Are you hearing the scripture this morning? Are the truths it's trying to portray gripping your heart? It needs to go beyond your head and knowledge and become part of the fabric of how you act. If we're going to reach our full potential, it's going to take all of us. If we're going to be what God wants, we need to contribute our part but also receive from others. You have to have a deep appreciation for the church, which is the body of Christ, it says in Ephesians 4. I'm glad I was raised in a family where there was a great appreciation for the church. We never missed church. Now, you say, sure. You're sort of just saying that, but you don't really. We never miss church. I don't remember ever missing church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, we went to church. One time I remember in my whole recollection, we didn't go to church Sunday night, and it was because we started out and it was a snowstorm, and we had a long driveway. We lived in a farm outside the city, and it was blowing in. Dad had plowed it out, and as we were going up, we're plowing through snow to get out. And as we got to the end of the lane, we started up the road. It was snowing so bad Dad could hardly see, and I remember him saying, you know what? If we go to church, we're never going to get home. This is going to blow in. And reluctantly, Dad turned around and went home. I'm telling you, we never missed church. We were always in church. If the doors were open, we were in church. If there's one thing I could encourage people to do to ensure that your spiritual health will be good, that your children will grow up to love and serve God, I'd say make a commitment to the church, the body. I never saw a bonanza. I never saw the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, some of you that are older will know what I'm talking about. Those shows were on Sunday night. I'd go to school, and they'd be talking about the Beatles being on the Ed Sullivan Show. I never saw it. We were in church. When they talked about the Ponderosa and Bonanza, I didn't know who they were talking about. I never saw Bonanza. We were in church. Now, I did catch up on reruns later. Still have never seen an Ed Sullivan Show. I tell you, there was a commitment to the church. But all my brother and sisters serve God. Their children serve God. Their grandchildren serve God. I really, when I go through the list of our family, and I may be mistaken, but I don't know of anyone that doesn't serve God. We're in church. There was a nourishment that sent to us, that it was imparted. My dad took the lead. There was never a choice, will we go to church today or not? I don't ever remember as a teenager, or even crossing my mind, I think I'll tell Dad I'll stay home today because I don't want to go. It was just never, it never crossed my mind. I couldn't imagine what my dad would say if I ever said that to him. We were in church. I'm sure there were times I was dry in my heart and went to church, but we were in church. You know, right up until when we started the church here. We started the church. Mom and Dad would sometimes come up on a Sunday morning. They would be in church with us, stay for dinner with us. But later on in the afternoon, I remember different times my dad would say to my mom, well, May, we better be headed back. Church is at 7. There's a lot of people away this week. We need to be out and support the church tonight. And they would get in the car and they'd go home and they'd go to church. To this day, we go on vacation, we go to church. We always find a church. And if it's something we can't find a church, we feel like we should do something here. I mean, we've been driving sometimes and I look at my watch and I say, well, you know, there's a church there. We could maybe stop in there. And yet, you know, we have to get somewhere. It's just implanted in my heart. And it served me well. Perhaps that's why I'm in the ministry today, is because of my parents' commitment to take us to church. My life was in the church. My friendships were in the church. The youth I hung out with were in the church. The values were always supported by other people around me who were in the church. I grew up in the church. There was a strength, there was a knitting together in my life. There was a nourishment that came to me. There was a growth that came to me. There was a maturity that came to me through the church, through the body of Christ. See, it's not just the church, KW Christian Fellowship. I'm talking about the church, the living body of Christ, members knit together, praying for one another, encouraging one another. That's why I'm so excited about the Stephen ministers. They are going to do their part, and they're going to contribute. And if you'll receive it, you'll be benefited by it. But not just them. Everywhere, the interconnections, the relationships, the fellowship we have, the conversations you have, the prayer times on the phone during the week, that is what builds the church together for us to accomplish what he wants. One final verse. It's in the Old Testament. It says this: those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish and bear much fruit. You want to flourish? Want to bear a lot of fruit? Get your roots down in the church. Get planted in the church. Don't just attend the church. Get planted in the church. Get your roots in the church. Draw your nourishment from the church. Let it flow into your life. You will flourish and you'll bear much fruit. And we'll accomplish what God wants to do in the world. You'll be stronger. You'll be healthy. You'll achieve what you want. You'll be benefiting other people. And God will be glorified on the earth. Shall we stand together? Challenge you this morning to make two commitments. A fresh commitment to Jesus the head. Yield your life to the Lord. You'll never live a happier life, a more content life, a more satisfied life than when you give your life to the Lord. Don't think that you know better than God knows. You're designed perfect for his plan for your life. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't bow your head and bend your knee to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I'm yours. I don't want to run my own life. I want the life you've given me, you've designed for me. Make a commitment, fresh commitment to Jesus. And secondly, make a commitment to the body of Christ. See the value of the person that's sitting beside you, that's worshiping with you, that's working with you on the team, the ministry team you're on. Be functional. Be part of the church. Contribute your gift. Start investing yourself. When you get part of the church, there's going to be a flow back to you. So make a commitment to Jesus. Make a commitment to the church. Get planted in the house of the Lord. Father, that's our prayer this morning, even for myself. I thank you, Lord, for my background and my position even. But Lord, I don't want to just be part of the church because of my position. Lord, help me to have a deep appreciation for every member of this church, realizing they're special, they're talented, they're gifted. I may not see all that they're doing, but you see it. Help us to love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, esteem one another. Help us, Lord, to accomplish your purposes. May every member here have a deep appreciation for the church. And may there be a flow of life to them through the church. And Lord, may we accomplish your purposes on the earth together. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You know, even in that, the amen is the church agreeing. So I think we should say it again. And everyone said, amen. Let it be. Let's thank the Lord. Go this morning. You're dismissed. But go with a deep appreciation for God and each other. Amen.